desire, God. You can't be contained. You look for ways to reveal yourself, to expose yourself and to show yourself your glory, your goodness, and who you are, God. Lord, I pray that tonight, God, Lord, that we come awakened, God. I pray to God, Lord, we're quickened, God, by your presence, or by God, Lord, that we have your heart and understanding, God, Lord, that a stirring takes place within our hearts, God. Hallelujah. Lord, above all of our situations, above all of our problems, God, that we see you high and lifted up, God. High and lifted up. High and lifted up.
Hallelujah.
High and lifted up. There's none greater than you. My heart cries, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come.
Hallelujah.
You're all that I need yesterday, all that I need today, and all I need tomorrow. And I pray tonight to God, Lord, that you open our eyes, the Spirit, that we become quickened to that. You're all I need. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Bless His name. Hallelujah. Come on, let's bless His name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Amen. You love the Lord? Ah, you love the Lord. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Hallelujah. There's nothing better than that quickening and understanding. I thank the praise team for pressing in, and I thank you so much and appreciate each one of you, our singers, and I just thank you. I pray a blessing upon them that, you know, just that, listen, you know what? Sometimes things happen in the spirit that we don't always see in the natural. Things take place and transpire, and things are happening in people's hearts. And just that place where that, you know, we just break through. That we, you know, last week there was a word that God just kept declaring to us in worship. And sometimes you hear that repetitive word or something. Don't just blow it off, but say, man, maybe God's trying to say. Sometimes, man, maybe God's trying to say something to me. Last week, God began to speak to us about miracles. Miracles. And God gave a miracle. There was a sister that came, and God just, and a miracle just came right there. There was a couple miracles that just, things that were just, you know what, sometimes it might not be a miracle to you, but it's a miracle to that person. See, miracles aren't, like I said last week, they're not something that are out of the ordinary for God. We got to get to a place where they're not unordinary for us. We live in faith. I want to. And I tell you, my faith has been challenged. Just like I know a lot of you. And I felt this. I felt this. I felt it in my heart. I feel it. Sometimes there's things I go through, and sometimes I get upset in a sense, God, what's going on? But being a pastor, sometimes I begin to feel the heart. I begin to feel what the sheep are going through. There's different things that take place that sometimes it's like that lion or that bear that David talked about, where that you got to be ready. And sometimes they feel that bear or something's coming trying to put affliction upon your people or something upon that. And sometimes I feel that, and I'm aware of that. But I want you to know that God's got so much for us. He's got so much. God's got us here in this town, and God's just been telling me, I have you there for a reason. Sometimes you look and you think, why? How about Pocono or some place in Florida? God says, I've given you this challenge, you, right here, to be the place of just receiving and taking hold of and being that receptive place where that we welcome the presence of God. You hear all the time, and I hear it sometimes, I hear people say, oh, it's so bad, Newcastle, and all this stuff. Man, listen, we, hallelujah, are the answer in Christ. We are the answer. They have no power, hallelujah. When we're in this place, hallelujah, when we're here, hallelujah, we are hosting the presence of God. Do you know that? We are hosting. Do you hear me, what I'm saying to you? We are hosting the presence of God. I just wish I could just put what I feel in. Just put it in your hearts. I know you have it, but I'm saying I just wish you could feel what I feel. And that's why I keep plowing. I keep pressing because I know that God, God has us. He says, I want you to host my presence. That you say, here we are. We've come here. That we can host. That we can say, God, we need your presence, God. We need you to flow. And I know that we bring the presence, but I'm saying we have to be at a place where we say, God, Lord, we recognize that we're hosting. You are the hosts of God. You are the hosts of God. Hear me tonight. You are the hosts of God. You are willing to say with your yes, I host God. I ask God, to God, Lord, to make me available to be here for you and for you and for others in this city. Hallelujah. Who else will do it? Come on. Who's going to do it? Hallelujah. We have to say yes. We got to stand and be at that place. God says, don't give up the doors. Hallelujah. Don't give up the doors. Hallelujah. Stand guard. Hallelujah. Stand at the doorways that I've placed you in. Stand there. Because that moment when we feel like, man, I just feel like that pressing. I want you to know that that's sometimes when things are pressing against you. I want you to hear this. That sometimes it's that moment where you're pressing and you feel like you can't press no more. And at that moment, I want you to know what was pushing against you begins to work for you. Hallelujah. Hear me? What is going against you works for you. When you build up that momentum and you're pushing something and you get it up that point, hallelujah, that point of breaking, and you get it there, and all of a sudden what you were trying to do, hallelujah, becomes flowing for you, not against you. And it begins to go the other way. It's time. It's time. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. I need that. I need that. I love minstrels. I love when they worship and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. They create an atmosphere. Amen. Listen, I want you to hear this. And I want to share with you a message tonight. And I just want to lay this out and say, who's here is here. Listen, I want you to get on, everybody. Come on. Get on your neighbors. Get on your friends. Get on those ones. Because sometimes we need to get people in the house of God. Amen. We need to get them. You got some friends or something that are going through a thing. I hope this ministers to you to hear what I'm saying. Because I believe with my heart that you look around and you look at all the negative things that are out there. And I believe that sometimes the enemy will do things to try to get you. And if he could mess with the head, if he can mess with your thinking, he can mess with you, then he could change things. Come on, amen? He could change things. He causes us to give up, to quit, to stop, to not move on. And we can't let him mess with our head. Tell the enemy, get out of my head. You have no place. No place. No place. Hallelujah. That's why there's no place I'd rather be than right here in God's presence. Amen. I want to share this with you. I want to share this with you. Get ready, Brother Joe, because I'm going to need you up there. Where'd he go? Probably the bathroom. I want. Oh, there he is over there. You got me good tonight, Joe. I sound good. Amen. All right, listen, I want to read something to you, but Jesus begins to share something to us in Matthew 6, 26. He begins to talk about something. I'm going to try to give this to you the way that I hear it in my head. Come on, amen? And Philippians 4, 6, the Bible says to be anxious for nothing. Come on, anxious. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things today that we are dealing with that cause us to become anxious, that create a sort of anxiety. Everywhere you turn, it's whether there's brother against brother or whether there's a battle for this or for that, whatever that thing is. I want you to hear this, that something's, that we got to recognize this, that There is something that takes place that we have to recognize and see. And as I began to look, I began to think about anxiety. Have you ever had anxiety? You don't have to raise your hands, but that's okay. Because how many know that we all have anxiety? And every one of us has. And I began to look at this and I began to see, wow. It's like, what does anxiety do? What is it? What is anxiety? You know, because we feel that. And I've been feeling that because I'm really not that anxious guy. Like, I'm really, like, well, I am kind of hyper, but I'm not, usually I don't get too nervous. I kind of stay pretty normal. But I don't know, about past 4 weeks I've felt a heavy anxiety. You know me, your pastor. I'm telling you the way things are. And as I began to look, I just want you to see this. I want you to see this. Anxiety is defined as this: a state of uneasiness, apprehension as about the future uncertainties. Boy, I tell you what, if we're uncertain about anything today, we feel like it today. Amen? A state of apprehension, uncertainty, and fear resulting from anticipation of a realistic or fantasized threatening event or situation. Wow. An impairing physical, often impairing physical and psychological functioning. In other words, anxiety occurs when we behave, think, or act in an apprehensive manner, such as when worrying about an event or situation. With this mind, anxiety is not a force or a thing in itself. It is a state of uneasiness that results when we worry. Listen, I started thinking about this, and I'm thinking about, wow, I says, yeah, I guess. And then I started going farther, and I began to look about what does anxiety do. See, I want you to know that it's not even a disease in a sense until you begin to get, because we all have it to some degree. I got a child. I got guys I work with. Sometimes I go in incredible situations where I'm at this amazing building. I got to design or build and put all these things together. And I got all this anxiety sometimes that tries to come and get you worried and get you frustrated. And you try to look at all these things or different things. And they'll come in different ways. I want to help you tonight, because I want you to know that every one of us do. And as I begin to look at this, it's a real thing. But you see, it becomes a disorder whenever it begins to cause you to have a function of life that's not orderly. That it begins to interrupt your normal life. Then it becomes a problem. See, all of us face anxieties. But what we do with that anxiety, what do we do with it? What do we do with those things that come our way? Now listen, listen. Anxiety is this. I want you to see this. It causes panic attacks. I don't know if anybody's ever had one of those, but they're real. I want you to give you, here's some of the symptoms of different disorders. Phobia symptoms. Have a phobia? Somebody have a phobia? Not to raise your hand, but a phobia, a fear of something, a phobia, where that you see that thing and or you think of that thing. Listen, if I mention there's a spider, my wife jumps out of her skin. She freaks out. I freak out whenever I see a rat. Creepy things, you know what I mean? But there's anxiety and there's this thing, but there's, listen, the body anxiety symptoms. Symptoms of anxiety are associated with the body, with your body. Listen, allergies. Anxiety, cough, back pain, stiffness, tension, body trembling, and it goes on. I'm telling you, there's hundreds of them. Chest pain, increased or decreased. I'm not saying that one. Chest and anxiety symptoms. There's all kinds there. Chest tremors and coughs and rib pain. Emotional problems. Symptoms ranging from mood and feelings. Heightened fear of what people think about you. Come on, amen. What people think about you. That can be a cause that happening, because if somebody doesn't like you, you might feel that threatened. Or you might feel afraid when you even walk into Walmart. That's real. I'm telling you, I'm not making fun. I'm being real about this stuff. That people go to places and they're afraid to be around people. Or they're afraid what someone will think. Or they're worried about whatever different things. You feel these anxieties. And they're real. They are real. They come your way. But what do we do with it? I want you to know that we're to have life. We have a joy within us. Hallelujah. We have God within us. Hallelujah. That those things don't have to, we don't have to submit to those things. We don't have to bow to those things. We don't have to give our hearts to that place. But we can be open to say, God, Lord, you're God. You're bigger than these things. You're bigger than the anxiety that I might feel. That it becomes a disorder. When it does face, what do I do when it comes my way? What do I do? Listen, I want you to know that, I mean, even younger, that even at a young age, the enemy tries to interrupt your life. Try to make you disheartened. Listen, he did it to Saul.
See, God set him in a place to be king. And he faced anxiety. How do you know that? I said, because he was worried so much about this young man named David that it gave him an anxiety, a fear that wasn't even real. He was afraid and threatened. This guy loved Saul with all his heart. But yet this misconception, this anxiety that raged within him caused him to feel rejected when he wasn't. To feel like he wasn't loved. That his son loved David more than he loved him. Caused him this anxiety. And it caused him to lose the kingdom. It won. Because he believed that lie. It robbed him of life. I'm here to tell you, listen, we're not to be robbed of life. We're not to be robbed of life. I remember when I was growing up, I remember that, man, this is funny, but it's not, because it, to me as a child, it was anxiety. I didn't realize it then, but I do now. I look back and I feel that emotion. I feel like what I felt like. And I did something when I was younger. I peed the bed. I told Justin to talk about peeing. I don't know about you, but when you're like 13 years old, 12, 13, and you pee the bed, you get anxiety. When your parents are telling you, Tom, you got to go over to your cousin's house every night. No, no. Because you're afraid. And it builds this anxiety when you're laying there all night and you're trying to stay awake all night long and you fall asleep. And I did one night, and I was at my friend's house and I woke up because I sleepwalked too. Jacked up kid, huh? And I used to sleepwalk too. I woke up and my neighbors, they already went to work, but yet I was at their house and I woke up in their bed. That wasn't just the main problem, but the other problem was I peed it. Talk about anxiety. It's okay, you can laugh, because I'm over it. But you know what, that's real. But that was real to me. That, you know what, that I woke up and I was like, and my friends and my brother were standing at the end of the door like, what are you doing in that bed? And I got up and my pants were all wet. And you peed it? Yeah, I did. But it took me a while to get over that. And I still don't sleep over people's houses. Has nothing to do with being in bed. Trust me. No. But that becomes an anxiety that becomes real. Listen, Jesus warned us. And he dealt with this. And he talked about it. And he said, if you could look at Matthew 6. Jesus says this in the first caption. It says, put God's kingdom first. Things want to rule us. Things want to have dominion in our lives. You know that? In our thought, in our process. They want to have place. And we got to be aware. And we got to be understanding that as children of God, listen, the only place the enemy could try to get you is in your thinking. And if he could disrupt your thinking about who God is, about what God can do, about who you are in his eyes, he could disrupt everything. He could hurt your family. He can hurt your purpose. He could hurt your destiny, your dreams, whatever's in your life. He could pull that away. He does it sometimes with our anxiety. He begins to work on that. We don't have to give him place. I want to help you tonight. And it says this, and it says, In Matthew 6, 26, 4, it says, no man can serve two masters, for neither either you will hate the one or love the other, or else you will hold the one or despise the other. You cannot serve God or mammon. Listen, he starts it off this way. Jesus deals with a few things. He deals with clothing. He deals with what you put on, that we worry about these things, or things that you eat, that you got to get something to eat. He begins to deal with these things that we do have concern about. But the first one he deals with is money. Do you know that, listen, the only thing mentioned more than money in the Bible is Jesus. And then money. Why? I want you to know that the only thing that God ever compares himself to is money. He said you can only have two masters. One or two masters, one master. And see, that arrested me because, wow. And he makes a point of it because why? You know why? Because money causes anxiety. Do you got enough? Do you got enough to retire? Every time I turn on the TV, there's a thing about retirement. And I'm 50 now. And I'm thinking, well, Janie, right? She's a little older than me, so you know what I mean. But no, you think about this stuff. You think about, do I got enough saved? Do I got enough money? Enough to retire? Am I going to be comfortable? You worry about these things. It's not like you don't trust God. You do trust God, but those things are real. And those things have become real, or whatever those things are. Or maybe you don't have enough money, or maybe even when you do got a lot of money, that they still could cause anxiety in your life and welcome in things that could cause disruption in your life. So either way it goes, whether you have it or you don't have it, money is horrible in a sense with it when it's not given to God, when it's not opened up to God, when God's not in part of it. It can be a blessing whenever He's part of it. It's a blessing when God's a part of it. But I want you to know that it does create this. So Jesus deals with this. He says, listen, mammon. He says, you can have one master, either money or me. He says, because it's going to try to disrupt your life. I want you to pay attention to this. That's what He said. And the next verse He says, therefore, I say to you, take no thought for your life. Listen, I want you to hear this. Take no thought. Don't become anxious about things. And it begins to go on and talk about what you eat. And you know, I have that trouble too. Sometimes when I open a menu, what do I eat? You know. No, but I mean, like, what do we worry about? Like, he's saying, he gives the simplest things, but sometimes nowadays we worry about things that, come on, you could be on Facebook and there could something come up and remind you of something or cause you to have something because somebody else has something and it causes anxiety. And you look at this and you're reminded of something in your past. Those things are all over the place. So he comes to this place and he says, listen, whether it's things you put on, I want you to know it's powerful because he discusses two things at that moment. Things that you put in you and on you. Be careful. He said, take no thought. He said, listen to me. Take no thought of your life. He said, I want you to introduce you. I want you to understand something. He says, because I want you to take hold of the kingdom. See, because when I'm your king, I got this. I want you to hear this. No matter what it looks like. Jesus sat there and he says, listen, I want you not to worry. As bad as it gets, I'm your king. Let me be your master. Money will fade. Money won't get you. It will leave you bankrupt. It will leave you empty. It will leave you with no hope. But I'm your hope. I'm your king. And we begin to learn to let God be king. Hearing. Sometimes we feel disappointed, but it's those moments where we become anxious about things and worry about things. We're letting Him be king. That at those moments we need to stop and say, God, I can't deal with this. I can't do this. I need you. I place it in your hands. I give it to you that you take it. So he says, Master, and Jesus begins to deal with the kingdom domain. What's dominant in your life? What's your master? What's the Lord of your life? And begins to speak of kingdom reality. And I want you to know that, listen, he begins to speak of a kingdom. And he begins, and I begin to think about what is a kingdom. A kingdom is there. I want you to know that, listen, and any king comes, we've been invaded by a kingdom. It's called heaven. And its name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, and any king that comes into a country, he has to be announced. He has to be declared. I want you to know, hallelujah, that it was by the angels. They sounded out. He says, Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. And Jesus standing on the hill. And the Holy Spirit said, this is my beloved Son. This is my Son. You need a king for a kingdom. And we found Him. His name is Jesus. Jesus. And at that moment, listen, I want you to know that that's powerful. But the kingdom of God are three things to me. It's righteous, peace, and joy. But there's something else about a kingdom. A kingdom has a reality, has a truth about it. Has a truth about it. Whether it's real, whether you accept the reality of that kingdom. Write this down if you don't have a pen. It's the reality of God. The second thing is God's initiative. What's His initiative? What God creates. His creativity. God's initiative. His imagination. What God created. Who He is to me. The kingdom of reality is the truth about it. It's whether or not I believe the truth, I receive that kingdom of God. And the third thing is provision. It's the supply of God. I want you to know this is what God brings to us. He says, you can have my truth or you can live an alternative reality of what the truth is. There's a lot of things that we can believe, that we can be anxious for, that we can believe it might look this way, and we can believe it, or we can take hold of the kingdom of God and say, God, the truth is this, God. I'm going to believe what you have, that I'm blessed and highly favored. That I'm the head, not the tail. I am rich, I'm not poor. I'm healed and I'm not sick. And I begin to see the initiative of God. What God thinks about me, His imagination about me. Oh, I want you to know what His imagination is. He's thought about you. He said, before you thought about me, I thought about you. And I created you. And all that you are. And the greatness that you are, I've created you. Hallelujah. And then He says, your provision, I want to be your provision. I want to provide for you, but you have to let me do it. You've got to be willing to place your heart's open to say, all right, I can't do this. I don't want to deal with this anxiety. I don't want to deal with these frustrations, with these fears. I don't want to deal with these. We have these. These are real. And I don't want to deal. I don't want to have them no more, God, but I want to give them to you. And I want you to know that sometimes it might be 20 times a day. Come on, help me tonight. It might be 20 times a day that the enemy keeps throwing at you. Oh, sorry. The enemy tries to throw something on you. What are you going to do with it? You're going to throw it back. And he does it again. Hallelujah. Come on. Your arms might get tired. Your arms might get tired. Hallelujah. Lifting them up time and time again. But keep doing it, because if the enemy keeps throwing at you, throw it back. Hallelujah. Say, I'm not going to take this. I'm not going to hold on to this, because I believe in the kingdom of God. I'm going to take what God has for me. That's why I'm so big on sometimes not forgiving people. Because when you do that, you step in place of God. Hearts aren't right. We get in that place where we're saying, okay, I got this, I'll deal with this. You're the king. You're the master. Either we're in or we're out. We live that life and say, God, I'm not going to let it dominate me, but I'm going to let your kingdom invade me. Invade me. Take hold of me. Let your love invade me. Hallelujah. Lord, I don't feel any peace, but I ask you, God, let your peace invade me today. God, I might not have no joy, but I ask you, God, Lord, that you invade me with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Invade me. And I can't contain it. When it happens, you let it out. Hallelujah. Let me keep going here. But a kingdom invasion. He says, Jesus said this. He says, take no thought what you shall eat, what you drink. He says, therefore, if you do this, he said, you're going to be invaded by a kingdom. John 9, 1 through 6. Let me get through this. I want you to hear this. Amen. Can I get a drink? Albert Einstein said something. It wasn't Albert Einstein. It was Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer, Mark Twain. Thank you. He said, my life has been full of catastrophes. He says, I've experienced all kinds of catastrophes in my life, and only some of them came. He says that he thought a lot of things out, but only a couple of them ever happened. Sometimes we think of catastrophes and all kinds of things in our head, and we make them real, and they're not. That's what I mean by the kingdom reality. That you can have your own reality. We can have our own reality of the way things are. I've talked to people. I've had people been there in places where that they've surrendered themselves to anxiety and the things that have come upon and bombarded them. And they feel like there's no hope. Listen, we might live in a world that's broken, but we have a God within us that's eternal hope. You hear me? We have an eternal hope within us. It's not temporary. It's forever. Hallelujah. So whatever happens in this little short time of moment, man, doesn't compare to the eternal hope that I have within me. It goes beyond words. But here's Jesus. And I want you to say that the kingdom of God, I want you to see that the kingdom of God was invading at this moment. And I use the word invasion because it sounds good, because the kingdom of God really did invade. It comes, it's welcomed into our hearts, and we welcome it in. Amen.
But I want you to know that there's something powerful, that we need an invasion of the kingdom of God sometimes in our situations. And right here, right now, in this moment with this man, there needed to be an invasion of the kingdom of God. Here was this man that says, and Jesus passed by and he saw a man that was blind. He was unable to see from birth, from the moment. Talk about anxiety. Got it? Oh, sorry. That's all right. It happens. My phone rings too. But listen to this. And he says, and the disciples ask him, saying, Master, who sinned? Listen, this guy had anxiety. He was blind to begin with. He was blind. He was. You know what I'm saying? He had to trust people. And there was probably a sense of anxiety that he had with that whole thing in his life. Come on, can you imagine that? I give it to our brother, Roberto, how strong in the God that he is. It isn't called a disability in his life. But he stands up and thanks God every day. It's a blessing to me. But here's this guy that here he was, and here's these other people. They came over. Isn't this the way this is, that those around you come over and they hand you some more anxiety? Here's these ones, and he already had a problem the way it was. He was already confused. He was blind. He couldn't see. He couldn't do this and that on his own. But here they said, did this happen because of his parents' sin? Or did this happen because of this? Or because of that? Or maybe something he did? They're trying to put more anxiety. You know, that's what the enemy does. He tries to create more anxiety in our lives so we become, wow, not only is it bad, but here it is right here in this moment. He needs a kingdom invasion. And here's Jesus. And it says that he was born blind. Jesus answered and said, neither. He said, this man sinned, nor his parents, but the works of God, that the kingdom of God might invade his life. Hallelujah. That it will disrupt this thing that has come upon him. That the kingdom of God becomes an opportunity for the invasion of heaven to touch earth. That's what God's looking for in our lives. For a kingdom invasion upon our situation. That we open our hearts to give God the opportunity. Invade my space, God. Hallelujah. But we get so placed where we hold back. I don't know. God, I don't know if I trust him to do this. I don't know this or that. We hold back. Let go. Let God invade it. Nothing will change until we begin to do that. Step out of that box. We lose control. And he says, and nor are they sinners' parents, but the works of God might be made manifest in him. See, what they try to do is try to fix the problem with an equal answer. That's what the world does. Listen, I want you to know the problems that we're in right now, they try to fix it with the same problems. We send men to the office to try to change it. They're just like us. They can't change it. There needs to be a kingdom invasion. They try to pour more money into it. It doesn't solve the problem. Can you say Jesus? We've tried all kinds of governments and we've seen all kinds of them. But I want you to know that there's one that's not recognized by the United Nations. It's called the Kingdom of God. But it's the only one that works. It's the only one that works. So here he was. Here's Jesus ready to come. He's ready to invade this guy's moment in his life. And it says this, and it says, and neither hath his son. He says, I must work the works him that sent me. I must do the works that the Father has given me to do. I must do them. He says, when no man can work. He says in verse 5, it says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I want you to know what light is. Light can't stay quiet. You know, John said that's who he is. He is light, he is life, and he is love. He described God as these things. I want to know him in all those areas, those facets. I want to know his life. To be in a moment and be invaded and let the kingdom of God come forth out of my life, with love, and with light. So I want you to know what light can't do. Light cannot be hushed, cannot be quiet. As much as you try to hide it, when you turn a light on, it exposes whatever's dark. So I want you to know there's a kingdom invasion. He says, I am the light of the world. Here's this man that he might be blind, but he's about ready to get invaded by the kingdom of heaven, which is light. Hallelujah. He says, and when that light comes in, do you know what light does? It reveals what's been hidden in the dark.
want you to know that that's what I need. That's what we need. That there's sometimes things the enemy tries to hide and make us look in the anxieties and the things that we're going through and try to hide what's truth, what God's kingdom, what the reality is, and tries to keep it hushed and try to hide it. But with the light of God, it exposes what you've been hid from in the darkness. What is hid from you. What the real truth is. Light is dynamic, explosive. Light desires to shine. Hallelujah. Allows us to appreciate the beauty and the value of something. Darkness covers and hides it. When light comes in suddenly, we see the reality of what darkness denied you to see. It has His nature to reveal Himself. It is His nature to reveal Himself. That's what Jesus does. That's His nature. He's light to reveal to you what has been hidden. I want you to know that that's what happened when each one of us, that moment when you received Christ in your life, that light shined upon your heart. And it revealed in you, if you continue to receive light, if you continue to open your heart to the light of God, to who He is, to the reality of the kingdom of God, His initiative, His reality, His provision, as we open our hearts up, that the more light we get, the more life we get. I'm going to say it again. The more light we get, the more life we get. The more things are exposed. Come on, I'm almost done. Verse 6, and it says, and when He had spoken, He spat on the ground. Man, this is powerful. I want us to see this. He spit on the ground. I love this so much because it's so powerful, because it seems unnatural. It's like, are you kidding me? Really? We know that sometimes God will do things that don't seem the norm. This is not the way you heal somebody. You need to take them to a doctor. No. Jesus says, picked up some dust. Man. I want you to see this. This is powerful because the dust is what the enemy, when in Genesis with the devil, he says, for the rest of your life, you're going to eat dust. The dust of the earth. Dust is the carnal realm. It's the low realm. It's the lower part of our lives. It's that place of anxiety. It's all those things that the disbelief, and we believe those things were suffering and pain and hurts and negativity and all these things that you can wrap your minds around and let it come into your life and open yourself up. That is the dust of the earth. And what that does is it tosses you like dust. It throws you up in the air. Where does it go? It goes all over the place. There's no life in it. He said, but you're going to eat that. And the only thing, listen to me, I want you to know that that's what we do. When we begin to take hold of this anxiety, we take hold of these things in our lives, and we don't let God invade our space to heal us in those moments, we're eating dust. And we're feeding it to the devil. The Bible says in Isaiah, shake off the dust. Shake it off. Don't let it get on you. Don't let it become part of you. Do you know, I want you to know what we do is we feed the enemy. We feed the enemy with those things, and we let those things build in our heads, and those things get bigger and bigger. And what happened with the serpent? Remember the snake that was in Eden? Do you know what in Revelation it became? A dragon. It had legs. How many of you like to see a snake with legs? That means he could chase you. I want you to know that that's the only power that we can give the enemy. Whenever we give that and feed that to him and agree with what he says, when we agree, we feed that. We feed that anxiety. We feed that moment. We feed that not truth. And we build it up and build it up. And then all of a sudden we give it legs. We give it power. And it takes over. It destructs our lives. This moment right here, here's this guy. He needed an invasion. Jesus took. He was invaded by heaven because the anointing that came from heaven came down on a place that was clay. He spit it and he put it in his hand and he worked it in. Hallelujah. And he took that mud. Hallelujah. That thing that was decayed and broken. I want you to know that's what God can do in our lives. That thing that we think we have no hope. He can take what's hopeless. He can take what's been tossed to and fro. He can take what's been broken. He can take it. And just that anointing of who He is can be demonstrated in one moment. He took it and he touched it, put it on his eyes. And everybody stood back and said, are you kidding me? Look, you're dirty. I tell you what, I'm dirty, but I can see. And the scales came off. And the kingdom of God invaded his space. That moment. that time. Last scripture in 1 Peter. You all right? I want you to hear this. Oh my goodness. 1 Peter 5:7. Listen. He's saying this. He says, to break that thing that tries to hold you. The Bible says it takes us to humble ourselves. Humble yourselves, therefore, unto God. Humble yourself. See, that's... Listen, I want you to know that sometimes we try, and it's just our nature sometimes to be God. It's our image and likeness, but in the wrong order. Being real. We like to control our lives. We like to control this and that. But He says, I want you to humble yourself. He says, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. In due time. Man, that speaks to me of a pregnancy. Man, when we let that faith invade my heart, it will only produce what it's invaded by. I don't want it to be anxiety. I don't want it to be unforgiveness. I don't want it to be hatred. That's what the world has done. But it needs an invasion of heaven. It needs to invade this heart. Next verse. Casting your care upon Him. Cast your care, for He cares for you. Listen, we got to know that God cares. Next verse. Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, hallelujah, come on, the devil is as a roaring lion. I want you to know that, you know what he does? He roars. Roar. Roar. He roars. He roars. And you know what he does with the roar? He tries to get your attention. That's what anxiety does. See, that's what he does with anxiety. He comes and interrupts your day. He steps in your day and he tries to get your attention with a roar. And what we do is we stop sometimes and we pay attention to it. We stop and give it notice and we're awakened by it. And we're like, oh my goodness. Come on, we do. Don't we do that? We do that. I do that. Sometimes we begin to worry about things that haven't even happened. We begin to take hold of that. I want you to know that He's going to try to break you through your imaginations, through your thinking. He wants to step in that place. And at this moment, I want you to see, He says, as a royal, He walks about. He's trying to find somebody to devour, somebody to take hold of, somebody to believe His lies. I'm sorry, go back real quick. I'm going to finish with this. Walks about seeking whom he may devour. He said he disrupts people's lives, purposes, plans, destinies, churches. He disrupts churches. He breaks families. Horrible things happen sometimes. Some of you have had those things happen in your life. I know of testimonies of some of you. I know what you've been through. I know your hurts. I know the traumas that you've experienced. I know how the enemy would try to disrupt. Sometimes we give the glory to so much praise to Him and He doesn't have control like we talked about on Wednesday. He doesn't. It's what I give Him. It's what I let Him invade. What I let Him occupy. I give Him space to occupy. He's not legally allowed to do it unless I give Him right. That word adversary means it's a legal term. And I want you to know that when you're in Christ, He has no legal right to invade that kingdom, because it's the kingdom of God. He can't step on this land. He can't step on, and you need to remind Him, hallelujah, get back, enemy, because you have no legal authority because of what Jesus Christ did, hallelujah, because of what He did. I'm no longer Chris Kaufman. I am Chris in Christ. I am hid in Christ. You have no authority. Get out of my mind. Get out of my thinking. Next verse. He says, resist them. Turn your head. Don't believe the lie. Turn away from it. Break that tie. Break that thinking that we can be encouragement to one another. We can be a strength to one another. Call 911. Isaiah 91:1. Look it up. He who abides under the shadow of the Almighty God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, look it up. Take hold of that. That's your 911. But the last story I'm going to share with you is there was two young men. These two young men, they were challenging each other, saying that dad is, he's the smartest. He's got wisdom. And the other son says, no, he's a dummy. He's a dummy. He can't do anything. He doesn't have any wisdom. And the son's look, he says, yes, he does. He says, I'll prove it to you. He went out and he got a little bird. And he found a little bird in the woods. And he says, watch when I come back. And he says, he came back to the father. And they went into his office. And they stood before the father. And they asked the father, he says, dad, he says, is the bird in my hand alive or is it dead? Knowing that in his heart that if his father said it's dead, he would let it go and it would be fly away. And then if he said, if it was alive, he would crush it in his hand, drop it. And he says, his father wouldn't be right. But I want you to know, here's what he did. He looked at his son and he said, son, the answer is in your hand. I'm going to say it again. The answer is in your hand. I want you to know, listen to me. We have the answer in Christ. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's available for every one of us. Not someday. Not a kingdom of reality of heaven in heaven, but right here, right now, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the kingdom reality that I desire every day in my life. Would you stand to your feet?
Open the eyes of my heart.
I want you to sing this one time with me again. As we open our hearts. Come on. Just lift up your hands and just be at a place where we open our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Lord Heavenly Father, right here tonight, God. Those that are here tonight, God, you've placed a tremendous word in our hearts. I pray to God, Lord, that we grasp the understanding of your kingdom, of all that you are, that all that you've offered to us. Sometimes we're waiting for you to do something and you say, here I am, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here, right now. I want you to lift up your hands. I want you to say, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's at hand. Where's your hand? That's the reality that we can have. Every moment, every day. Invade my space. Invade my space. Be so real to me that that light invades darkness. I want you to hear me. It invades darkness. God placed me in a place this week. And I stood there and someone said to me, they said, you know, you're there for a reason. And I thought, wow, I'm the kingdom of God is within me. I'm there for a reason. And all week I kept finding this anxiety about different things. I drove to that job site and said, today something's going to happen. And I walked in and there's a guy that come out and he's a contractor. He runs the whole job and all this stuff. And he looks like he got it all together. And he says, hey, I got a question for you. That moment, at that time, I had to go pee. And he did too. And we crossed paths at that moment, at that time. And I looked, he looked at me and says, hey, can I ask you a question? He says, what's your story? And he began to ask me some questions about my life. He said, I thought maybe you did this before as contractor. Would you do this, that? And then he began to ask me about what I did. And I said, I'm a preacher. You're a preacher? And he began to ask me. He began to pour out his heart and tell me right there in front of Ben Roethlisberger's house. You know, began to pour his heart out to me, Pastor Dan. And he said, listen, he says, I've lost everything. He says, my business. He says, all this. He says, now I'm working for somebody. I'm like, boy, that's my story. Nobody could minister to him like I couldn't because I've lost it. I've lost things that you built for life and they're gone just like that. I stood before him. I know this is a moment right here that I could have let that pain from the past take me down. But at that moment, at that time, I was there and I was right there for this man to preach and to give him a word. I stood there. I said, I want you to know something. He said, it doesn't seem right. He says, we're building these mansions, but they don't even know. They don't even have the reality of what we live in. I said, oh. I said, you know, I have something that some of them don't have. He said, what's that? I said, I have Jesus. I said, I'm going to tell you something. The enemy come in roaring like a lion. I said, but Jesus invaded my heart. I says, and made it a reality of what it was in heaven. Hallelujah. A joy that can't be produced by money, by power, by prestige, but only from heaven. I said, that I have an anointing with me that knocks down giants. Hallelujah. It destroys lions. Hallelujah. It causes the enemy to run when I'm in the presence. Run! Because of what's within me. Power of God. That's what the kingdom of God does. I'm looking at right here tonight, an invasion of the kingdom of God. Let it be a reality out there. Let the King of Kings be Lord in your street, in your house, at your workplace. Don't let them focus on all the anxiety and the problem that's out there. You're the answer for the problem. You're the solution. You are. Because of Christ in me, the hope of glory. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I pray for each one person here tonight. I pray the empowering of your spirit right now. I pray our eyes to be open. I pray for a quickening within us. I thank you for double blessing right now, God. Well, I ask you, God, Lord, for a multiplying, God, in these people's hearts. Multiply, God. Let this seed multiply and replenish the earth in your holy name. And with everything within me, I'll declare. That's what I like to hear. Amen. Bless somebody. Give somebody an encouraging hug. And listen, I want you to know, listen, we don't have any food tonight. Yes.
Last night, well, the Holy Spirit just touched me. And I did not know now one thing about you trying to preach this message about anxiety. But this poem that I wrote was all about anxiety. Well, I would love you to read it. Cause my...
Can you read it?
My... Yeah.
Where's my glass?
Oh, here on my glass.
I got my green.
Go.
All right. Anxiety comes when we don't know. We start to worry as we grow old. We lose our faith when we can't find the way towards Jesus. We lose our life. But there's a way to be made free. Just reads God's word. It's all we need. Anxiety said that you are no good. You'll never make it like you should. For God the Father made a way. In Christ there's life, as we all do pray. Anxiety said we must quit. There's nothing good about you. Get out of it. Our Father God says tells us the truth and gives us life to make things new. Anxiety will tell you will never be. Just like Jesus, you'll never see. So Father God tells us today, so do not worry, I gave you grace. So when life's struggle gets so hard, know that I am not too far. So as you call upon my name, I give you life for all to change. So it is me that made the way and opened up the pearly gates. For you come in one day, see, the grace of my love will set you free.
That's amazing. He wrote that last night. God inspired him to do that last night. So I'll tell you what, that's the way God, amen, that's the way he is. Amen. We're going to get that printed out and we're going to have everybody have a copy out if they want that. We're on Wednesday night. Amen. Come on, be blessed. Amen. Encourage somebody. Give them a hug.